Okay, fine. No, I think it's a very good thing. I meant to do with bad stuff and not with the guy that was in the t-shirt. Ephraim had a question. Go ahead. You embarrassed?
Can I pass a question?
No. No, that was just one of our things. No, basically my question is that for those of us that are on higher levels, basically since we're young, you're always taught, you should always have Hashem on your mind. You should always think about Hashem. You know, this is something that, some people work on, the older you get, the more mature you are, you think Hashem, you always think Hashem's on the world, but even though you have Hashem on your mind more and more, and even if you want to say it all the time, you still find yourself being embarrassed. I don't understand, if you have Hashem on your mind, you shouldn't be sitting here.
May I have something? What do you think? You hear the question? Maybe, is he wrong? Maybe someone who has Hashem in their mind doesn't do others. Is he right or is he wrong?
Who has Hashem in their mind? They're not certain.
Yeah, Ephraim is saying that if someone always has Hashem on their mind, then he should not be doing others.
Usually there's a Meir Hetter when people are
doing it's like speeding in front of a cop. I'm saying, the cop is, you don't feel it as much. What do you think? Well, it's normal that you do have errors, even if you're thinking about Hashem. That's a good question. What does that mean, thinking about Hashem?
No, I just think thinking about Hashem means that you have Hashem in your mind. You're thinking in a rookieistic way, in a way that there's an Hashem in the world. Hashem. How do you think about Hashem?
He's not saying that he understands.
What do you think?
Every Messiah, or the Messiah, let's say you're about the rookies, the Messiah comes to you,
what happens to Hashem?
Something else.
Right? Well,
that's what Yitzhara does.
The Yitzhara exists in the presence of Hashem.
The whole point.
Rationalizing. Well,
get
to
that. Rationalizing.
Well, I'm hearing a lot of it. I'm hearing that we're rationalizing all over.
And the heat of the moment, everyone's made right that that's
such a what?
So saying Hashem understands my
titles. That's what you mean?
That's not actually wrong.
That's interesting.
With God, it's not possible to have Hashem at the forefront of your mind at all times.
Yeah, but it's possible to be it's never happened like you've got to
Mike, what do you think?
You could be aware of that. Stop time at that time, you can say, Hashem's there, but you can say, really, really.
Yes, what do you think?
This is how we can walk the radar detection, whatever it is. But you don't actually see the radar. You don't slow down for a half a second because the sign says it's a radar detection. So yeah, you say
you don't slow down for half a
second. Okay. I don't slow down for a half a second because it's a radar. This bridge is being watched by radar, whatever it is.
Right. Radar, that's a mushal, but that's what Mary Sofa said. You're just giving me a very good mushal for it. Ellie, what do you think?
I guess one of those annoying that the bears are here now. And Hashem's not something that you put in like a physical thing. It's not like staring you in the face 24/7 as much as you'd like it to be. And these are hard as a construct.
What do you think?
I think along the same lines of dying, at that time, here by definition means that there has to be some sort of battle, no?
So now we know there is a battle, but now we're trying to figure out what the battle is.
What?
One second, let me finish up over here. Ellie?
I had a question.
Alright, so basically, I'm hearing two mahalachim here. They're both right. They're both right mahalachim. It's maybe different colors in each mahalach, different It's a good, it's a very, very good subject. It's a stam, a very, very good subject to think about. The question was that someone who learns to have Hashem in his consciousness, you know, always, so how is it possible for him to do an Aveira? And I'm hearing two answers. I'm hearing one school of thought from that side of the table, and a different school of thought from this side of the table. And the school of thought of that side of the table has two ways of expressing itself. The Ilam on that side of the table expressed it in two ways. Number one was the Meir Simcha way, and number two was the Danny Brody way. Those are just the first two, but then it went along those lines. The Meir Simcha way was that you might be conscious of Hashem, but it's not enough of a reality to chase away the Yetzirah. In other words, you're conscious of it, but it's like the what we've talked about many times about the Yodata Hayom Ashevayisa Elavavecha, that it's not, if we saw Hashem like we saw a cop, then we would, then Enochanami, we wouldn't do Averis. Taka, Enochanami, we wouldn't do Averis. If we were standing, if every minute we were in front of a Melech, Kael, Ram, Venisa, Sheikhein Ad, Marim, Vekadosh, then we would not do Averis. But the problem is that even though we know we're in front of Hashem, but we know it like it said, like we know it like we know the radar. There's a radar even though we can't see it. Yeah, we know it, maybe even less than that, right?
No,
even less
I think
than
what
that.
He's saying is because you think you're not going to get caught.
No, that's not what he means. He means that when I don't see the danger, it's hard. You know, the marshal, I'll give you a marshal. You know, we were driving on the 84 a couple of days ago. Who was I with? I was with Nashi Taylor. We're driving on the 84. We're driving back from New York, and on the part of the 84 that's 65 miles an hour, we're driving, and suddenly we saw this massive accident on the highway. It was the night before Rabbi Kaufman's father's Leviathan. Two nights before, and there was a truck that basically knocked some cars into the side of the road. It was a horrific scene. Mamash, a horrific scene. Horrific. They probably closed down the highway very shortly after the game. We probably passed by very shortly after the accident happened. It was mamash horrific. So as soon as you see something like that, boy, do you slow down. It's inevitable. It's anyone who doesn't slow down when they see a scene like that, there's something wrong with them. You just automatically, like, you just see, like, we saw people wrapped up. It was very, 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 it was like very, something you don't want to see. And we saw cars really bashed up and ambulances, people running. Relatives obviously had been called and they were running to the cars. It was a very, very, very difficult thing. We were shaken up and automatically slowed down. I slowed down first like 40 miles an hour to catch my breath. It was like a horrible scene. I've seen accidents before, but this was like really bad. And then I picked up back speed, but it was like nerve-wracking. And then when I passed the truck, I was like really slow again. Even though everybody knows that it's dangerous, that a truck could be dangerous on the highway, and everybody knows that accidents happen, and everybody knows that horrible accidents happen, and many people probably were listening to the radio and heard about this accident, and they didn't slow down, but when you see it, somehow the reality of it penetrates in a way that not seeing it doesn't penetrate. And that's Meir Simcha, that's Meir Simcha's Mahalach, that you can know Hashem is there, but we're not on the Madrega that we actually see Hashem. That's not that Madrega we're not on, so Mimela we can't. Let me just get through the different mahalachim because we're running out of time, and then if we have time, we'll shmooze about it some more. That was the Meir Simcha mahalach. The Danny Brody mahalach is not a stira to it, but it's also true. And that is, and that's something that Ephraim Katayna, that depends who you are. But there are people that as time goes on more and more and more and more, they develop that consciousness of mamash being oimed b'fnei ha-melech. So for such a person, how does such a person do an aveir? And for that, Danny pointed out, I'm not going to use the exact words he said, but I'm going to say his kavana, that, and this is a very, very, very important thing, I think we get fooled by this a lot, is that we think, let's say we'll reach a point, I'll give you an example. We're standing by Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, and it was mamish a lot of, without me, with Kavana, but I don't mean fake Kavana, I mean we're thinking about that we're standing in front of Hashem, and that our future lies in the balance, and like we're really, like, really focusing on it. And then you have the end, you know, Hashem Elikim, Hashem Elikim, those who have been here, Yom Kippur, and it's a very, very emotional, very, you know, the climax of Yom Kippur, you know, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusei out loud, and Hashem Elikim, Hashem Elikim, Yimamash Oimu Efnei Melech. At that moment, you cannot imagine ever doing an Aveira. And some people, and that's good, should be that way. But some people fool themselves into thinking, that's it. I mean, I can't do averus anymore. I just stood in front of Hashem. I just came out of nevuah. You know, compared to, which I'm saying that with a smile, but compared to the way I usually live, I really, you know, or someone finds himself in tremendous sakana and he's saved. You know, so you feel like, Hashem, help me, help me, help me. And then Hashem helps. And like, I can't do an averus anymore. Hashem, help me. You know, whatever the situation might be, that a person has that moment of clear inspiration. And people fool themselves into thinking that that's it. They were kind of it. Now I reached a madrega where or a person could learn a musarvad, or a person could learn a sefer, or a person could hear be in his car and hear a Pesach Kron talking on a tape. And whatever it is that could inspire a person to a certain level, it's like, oh, Baruch Hashem, I heard that tape. Now I'm on a much higher madrega. And what Danny's pointing out is that madregas are very, very, very fluctuating. All right, so that was the. And when the Yetzirah came, now what you're saying? What? Let me finish, you tell me. If I'm right. I still think it is what you were saying. When the Yetzirah comes, it almost chases Hashem away. You know, yeah, I can have a very good presence of Hashem, but the Yetzirah comes, it's very easy. Someone said, like, you can forget in a sec, or all you need, Charlie said, all you need is Hashem not to be there for 1 second. You know, they have a constant consciousness of Hashem. That's already a much, much, much higher madrega. In other words, to reach it sometimes, that's already one thing. To have a constant consciousness of it, that's already a higher madrega. So he's saying someone who always thinks about Hashem is thinking about Hashem and is thinking about Hashem. The thinking about Hashem has different levels. And sometimes when I'm faced with the taiva, with the yetzahara, with a difficult time, so my thinking of Hashem changes. And even though my mind, you're asking like, your mind doesn't change, you know that there's Hashem. Yeah, I know, but it goes away from the heart. It becomes now like I know that 2 + 2 = 4. I know certain things that I know. It doesn't really move me very much. I know that it's true. It doesn't affect me. That's what it becomes. And my knowledge doesn't change, but my living the knowledge changes. You know, sometimes we could be in a situation that we'll hear a shmooze about how terrible doing a certain thing is. It's mamash a terrible, terrible thing. And we'll be shaken up, like, how could I ever do such a thing? 2 days later, you understand very well how you could do it. What changed? Did the knowledge change? You forgot? Somehow the reality of it sometimes changes, even though the knowledge stays the same. It's a very important insight to know, because sometimes people think they're crazy. Like, I was just by a shmooze 4 days ago, and the shmooze described that when you talk Lashon Hara, it's mamash destroying lives and this and that. And at the time, I was like, obviously I can never talk Lashon Hara again, it destroys lives. And here I am 4 days later talking Lashon Hara with the knowledge in my head that it destroys lives. How's that happening? And use that as a mashal for any other Nisayan. The answer is, right, it's the knowledge in my head that it destroys lives. But all those stories that I heard, they're not so vivid in front of me anymore. So we're able to back away from it. What were you saying? A third thing?
So basically, maybe someone was saying it's a quality flag in Russia. And we were saying that it's a quantum flag.
Right. And what were you saying? Okay. So that was that side of the table. That's that side of the table. This side of the table is saying something else, a different yesod, that I was just schmoozing with some guys about a couple of days ago. Very, very, very interesting thing. And that is that, you know, when I started giving Mesilas Yesharim Shiurim, and I'm not saying that it's something that I shouldn't do anymore, because I still think you have to deal with that sad, but I was under the impression that everyone looked at Hashem like some kind of angry God with lightning bolts coming out of his eyes. If you do something wrong, you're fried. And I used to try to convince people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a caring, loving God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to be messed up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us in Gehenna. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us in Gan Eden. That's where he wants us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to shteig. You know, like, this comes up a lot. Like, someone asked me a couple of years ago, like, before Yom Narayim, like, if I did one thing wrong, I'm going to Gehenna. I can't do a real tshuva. Like, I'm for sure going to Gehenna. You know, and I would like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a very reasonable God. But I realized that we have to explain both sides of it, and that's a challenge that I didn't expect, among other things. That's a challenge I didn't expect when I first started learning Mesilas Yesharim with the Olam, is that not just the half the Olam thinks this and half the Olam thinks that, but sometimes people have both, which is a hard thing to imagine, is that along with the people that think that we have an angry, not understanding, difficult Hashem, which makes us give up on Him, basically. The result is that, like, I can't make Hashem happy anyway. I give up. That's what happens. That's what I always try to battle against. There's the other half, the other side of the aisle, or sometimes the same people, And they know that we have a very reasonable Hashem, a very reasonable Hashem, a very, very reasonable Hashem, a very understand, a very liberal Hashem, a very understanding Hashem. And I don't mean to make fun of it, because I shouldn't make fun of it, because we all have this, not all of us, but many of us have this somewhere inside of us. They're like, look, I'm having a hard time with this Nisayan. Hashem understands that I'm having a hard time. I'm thinking about Hashem, Ryan. I'm thinking about Hashem, and I'm thinking how Hashem doesn't mind so much if I do this. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking how Hashem knows what I've been through. Hashem knows what I've been through, and it's okay with Him. I mean, after all, didn't Sanhedrin say 1,000 times that Hashem doesn't have lightning coming out of His eyes? He's a reasonable Hashem. So, Lashon Hara, I can't stop talking Lashon Hara. So, hi Hashem, you understand. I'm talking Lashon Hara now. That's what you were saying. It's like we rationalize. That's what you mean by rationalizing. We rationalize it. Either some people do it b'shita. One person told me a couple of years ago. We were just talking about this. One person told me a couple of years ago that he has a shita that Hashem put us on this world with the understanding that we're going to make mistakes and do bad things, and it's okay. It's a very nice. That's a great shita. It's a very convenient thing. It's gishmak. Gishmak. I wanted very much. I was trying very hard to also hold of that shita. It's a very gishmak shita. Some people, it's not a shita so much. It's more like a feeling, not such a thought out feeling. You know, like, look, you know, Hashem doesn't want to kill me. I mean, if He loves me, so then if Hashem loves me, so take this. You know, you have to. So Hashem gets to carry this too. You know, sorry. You know, some people say like, look, Hashem, you know, you made life hard for me. I'm gonna make life a little hard for you. You know, people have different types of attitudes, and it sounds weird when I say it, but if you think about it, anybody who thinks about it will find that in their hearts a little bit, somewhere, somehow. You know, this is my chinuch. What do you want? I live in America. You know, what, expect me to be completely tar? Like, of course, Hashem understands. There are people who do averis lashma. Hashem wants me to. You know, that I'm not gonna talk about tonight. That's really a different. And that's a complicated thing. That's a complicated thing, because when we have an absolute that if I'm in front of Hashem, I'm not going to do averus. That's make things are much clearer. If I'm in front of Hashem, I'm not going to do averus. Then I can work very hard to be in front of Hashem. The problem is that Hashem isn't understanding Hashem. I saw a few days ago, somebody writes that a certain mitzvah, a certain chiv that a person has that you can't reach until you're on a very, very high madrega. So therefore, you have to work your whole life to get onto that madrega. One second, but what about today? Today I'm not on that madrega. Well, let's say Lashon Hara. There's nobody who talks a lot of Lashon Hara that could say, not nobody, I shouldn't say nobody, there are very few people that talk a lot of Lashon Hara that could say, okay, starting today, I'm not talking Lashon Hara anymore. It's over. I'm finished with that. It's much easier to decide, like, starting today, I'm going to call these roles. Much easier. You know, starting today, no Lashon Hara, it's not so easy. So what do you have to do? You have to accept hours on yourself, like some people do. We'll start learning the halachas. We'll try a little bit, trial and error, get a little better at it. And so it takes time. So for all those days, you're sitting in sin. Right? You're staying Lashon Hara, straight to Gehenna. So, and the same thing is true with a lot of Averis and some of the things that we struggle with privately, you know, Tivus, Yetzaharis, these type of things, that to a certain extent, they're not things that we could say at the drop of a hat, at the snap of a finger, that's it, my entire life is going to be different, now I'm just serving Hashem, the Kedusha, the Tahara. We can't do that, everything is a process, it takes time to reach a certain Madrega, it's not so easy. What about the time in between? What about the time before I'm able to do that? So the answer is that it's not the right thing. Not right, obviously. You can't say you go ahead do something wrong, but it is true that to a certain extent that part of growing in Avodas Hashem is the understanding that things take time. You want to do tshuva for something, tshuva can't happen in a day. Until you do tshuva, you have the Avera, but you can't do tshuva right this second. It takes a while sometimes to do tshuva, to do Aziva Sachet. It takes a while. So to a certain extent we have to realize that there is a quote-unquote reasonable Hashem, but then when he gets really reasonable, so then we say we don't have to do tshuva at all. And it sounds funny, but we do that. We do that. And what that demands is that very often we end up at the same point And it's something that, you know, we could talk about little by little over time, but it's not something that we could give a formula for in one shot. What that means is that we really, really, really have to learn ourselves, be honest with ourselves, and learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an honest, balanced way, using Chazal, using Sfarim, listening to what Rabbeim have to say. And we have to develop a sense of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. And that's a difficult thing. That itself is a big avodah. We have to develop that sense of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. And after I have that sense, then when I'm in front of Hashem, I'm not going to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to do. But it comes out that and this is something that that's a little bit of a chiddush. It comes out that becoming a Yirei Shamayim is not just about visualizing myself in front of Hashem, but it's also about having an honest perception of what Hashem demands of me. Does Hashem demand that I be the Chavetz Chaim? It can't be. Does Hashem demand that I be Moshe Rabbeinu? It can't be. Does Hashem want me to be Hefker? Also not. So there's got to be some place that Hashem wants me to be. I have to figure out what that is. I have to be honest with myself with what I'm capable of, not shirking my responsibilities and saying I'm not capable of anything, and not being overly intense and saying I could go change the world and I could do the impossible, but having that balanced view of what Hashem wants for me for now. What can I accomplish today? What can I accomplish this week, this year? What is the reality of what Hashem wants? And then you save yourself from the rationalization. If you have kavua in your mind, this is below me. This is where I draw the line. I don't do this. This I'm still working on. This I don't do. Then when the taiva comes up, it's not like, oh, Hashem really understands. No, I went through this. I spent time being misbinding and being misbinding and thinking it over and deciding and realizing that such and such and such behavior is below me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows me very, very, very well, he knows all my problems. He knows all the hidden pain that I have that I don't share with people. He knows all my nisyanos. He also knows all my strengths and all my milas and all my accomplishments. Hashem, based on the best of my understanding, Hashem feels that this is below me. And Hashem understands that this is my challenge. So if I do the thing that's below me, it's wrong. There's nothing to rationalize. That's wrong. So then it becomes a question of what Meir Simcha is talking about. How realistic is it that I'm in front of Hashem? Then it becomes that issue. But first we have to establish in a healthy way, and healthy is the big word over here. This is a conversation that is not just about Musar. This is a conversation that's about living a normal, healthy life, being normal. I have to first have a sense, not too strict and not too loose. I have to have, you have someone who's off the derech living somewhere, you know, in Manhattan saying, look, you know, like someone once told me, who went off the derech, God understands that I have to be happy. That's maybe not so healthy either. You know, a person has to also understand that he has responsibilities. A person also has to understand that Hashem put him in the world to accomplish something. Not just to be happy, but also to accomplish something. Maybe even not mainly to be happy, but to accomplish something. And maybe happiness is accomplishing that, just to turn it around. So that has to be the first thing. So it's really the answer to your question is both. The answer to your question is that Ein Hachanami, I could be conscious of Hashem, but the levels of consciousness are varied, and even if I hit a very high level, it could drop instantly. It needs constant zehiras. But all of that's not good enough because of what this side of the table, Tainan, which they're right about, that I could be very, very conscious of being Omid B'fnei Hashem. But if Hashem is a liberal understanding Hashem, so then I can get away with a lot. So then I have to deal with the honesty about myself and my kaiches and my growth and my steiging and my goals and my future accomplishments to know what is it that this Hashem that's in front of me, what is it that he demands of me.